Welcome to another episode of Marketing 101 for Chiropractors,
where we keep you ahead of the curve, attracting more new patients and growing your business. Now, here's your host, Dr. D himself.
Hey everyone, welcome to another podcast in Marketing 101. I'm Dr. Enrico Dolcicori, and I will be helping you this week with nurturing your list. We've been talking a lot about the last few weeks on the podcast about how to create ads, how to run them, how to generate leads, how to simply do it without a lot of software, maybe some software that you can dive into to help automate systems for you. But really, the nitty-gritty of marketing is what you do with the leads that you acquire. It's your harvest. So we plant seeds with our message and our brand in through our community, and whoever the listeners want to be and our ideal clients hopefully are within that community. And then when we start to get the crop going, we start to harvest our leads. Hey, I don't know if you've ever done any farming or have ever had an orchard, or my dad always had a greenhouse everywhere we've been, and we always used to play in it, and he'd grow everything from tomatoes to lettuce to fruits, whatever it may be. And you harvest it, and almost all of it is great and edible, but sometimes you got some that's really not good, or maybe some bugs got into some of them and those are not edible. It's the same thing with the leads, and everyone likes to complain about the ones that the bugs got, and they might not be good leads, but you harvest all this. It's what you do with it. And unfortunately, if you don't have systems in place to nurture these leads and nurture the list that you've created over time, you're really throwing out a lot of produce. That's really what's going on. You're throwing away perfectly good leads that could become perfectly good clients at some time. We have to think short-term and long-term when it comes to marketing. And if we're just reacting and just creating ads for new patients for this week and this month, we're thinking very, very short-term. And that type of that's not even really a system. That type of reaction to marketing just continues to burn you at both ends. And if you've been there, put your hand up, just confess that spinning your tires is extremely tiring. And that's the number one consensus I get from a lot of people that I coach. They've been through this, they've done this, they're tired of dealing through leads. So we need to understand what a lead is. Is it even worth getting leads? Is it even worth building your lists? And the answer is always yes. The building your list and building your lead is always a great thing to do. So marketing is needed and should always be done. But once you get leads, what do you do with these leads? How do you harvest these leads? What are your tools to acquire these leads? So let's go through that today and talk about the simplest ways to do this. A lead is simply anyone that gives you their information. And the information that you should be getting for most brick and mortar practices is name, phone number, and email at the very minimum. Some people will go as far as getting an address. The more questions you ask, the harder it is to get all the information filled out, because a lot of people don't like sharing too much of their information. So name, phone number, and email. And even that can be tricky. Sometimes people give fake emails, they don't fill out their last name, and your leads are kind of choppy to start with. But this is information, so that's considered a lead. Now, you get to classify leads as good, mediocre, or bad, depending on how the results are with the lead. And anyone that comes in and becomes a new patient is a good lead, and anyone who doesn't respond is a bad lead. And it's not that simple. These leads obviously gave you their information. So there was a point of interest at one particular moment through what you did, either social post, a boost, an ad. Typically, it's an ad. You're trying to get an offer out there. You're trying to highlight your services. And for some reason, someone clicked on it and filled out the information and hit the submit button. I mean, it's not a fluke that you got their information. I know sometimes you call these people and they're like, who are you? Why are you calling me? And you're like, you gave me your information, doofus. Like, that's why we're calling you. And they give you, stop marketing or start getting, I mean, you literally gave me your information. I'm not going out buying lists and calling you. So I understand the frustration there, but they gave you the information. Putting them, and there's ways to be very direct with our leads, which is texting and emailing and calling, which are very direct ways of reaching out to leads. It's the fastest way to getting a transaction done. Of course, if they pick up, you can then talk to them. And if you talk to them, your conversion rates go through the roof, because who's going to say no to the offer that they signed up to, right? Now they're in. It's just getting a hold of them. But then there's also passive ways of getting a hold of them or staying in contact with them. And this is direct mail, email, and even sporadic texting can be used as passive. But what do do this? And if you start thinking and you're like, how am I going to do this on my own? You don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are systems and procedures you should have in place to do this. And automation is the name of the game when it comes to this stuff. Even when we used to do this 7 years ago and did it with an Excel sheet, we would get the name, phone number, and email. Immediately, an email, personal email, will be sent to the lead. They'd say, hey, we saw that you were interested in our offer. Email us back and we'll book you in ASAP. And they'd have a phone number and we would call them. Hey, Mike, we saw you were interested in our offer. Give us a call back and we'll get you booked in ASAP. We have appointment times tomorrow and Friday. That was the voicemail. And then they would even get a text. This was all done manually. You could do it manually. If you're running ads and getting started and you're not doing, you know, 5-10 leads a day, you can manage this. You can assign someone on your team to do this. It's very simple. It's an email, it's a phone, and it's a text. It's very simple. All your platforms do this. You can do this. Once you start to get busier in this, this is where automation can really play a great role. And I encourage people that get started with me in marketing, we build their automation right off the bat. It's yours. You own it forever. You can do whatever you want with it. But we build it correctly for you. We keep it as simple and as effective as we possibly can. So automation means these things can be done for you. So as soon as someone clicks on a form and fills it out, within minutes or even seconds, they'll get a text message saying, thank you for filling out the form. We'll be in contact with you shortly. Or it can be very direct. Thanks for filling out. You've now got one of our vouchers for our promo. When day would you like to come in? Click this link. You could even do that straight to your calendar and they can book it in. Depends how much chaos you want to create in your business. This is why each office is very different and we custom cater things for that. But if you're listening to this podcast, you can custom cater everything to your practice yourself. It's not that hard. So you do this, use some tools. I use Go High Level. There's MailChimp. There's other types of CRMs out there that can help you with this. I like Go High Level. It does it all. It does the texting, the email, the Facebook Messenger. It does everything that you need it to do. It's really cool. So they'll get a text. Within a minute or two after that, they'll get an email as well with the exact same message. Reply back and we'll get you in. Then it's my team's job and they get a notification to call them. That's it. And then if there's no response, you can set cool automations that show, did they respond? Great. They end the sequence and they're no longer bombarded with texts. If they did not respond, they get another text tomorrow. And another text the other day, and then an email, and then another text, and you just keep going. What it doesn't hurt to keep reaching out to people, and they have, due to the ATP guidelines and laws for media in the United States, is that if you have to have a reply or stop button on there. So if they hit stop, the systems automatically stop the sequence. They will no longer text them, and that will actually prevent the system from ever texting them again. So there you go, you're covered. Or if they hit unsubscribe button on there, they're automatically removed from your email list. So you can no longer email them more stuff on an automation. You can then take their email and still email them personally. You can always do that, but you're no longer, or you can direct text them personally as well. You may cause a little bit of problems with that, but you can do that. You just never want to upset anyone. If they say stop, stop. If they unsubscribe, don't reach out to them again. Because if they file a complaint, then now you run into issues both with the texting issue, your phone system, and or your email system. So these automations play a great role. And building them doesn't have to be difficult. I'm a big fan of doing it and building it because you get to learn the back end and you customize everything the way you want it to, which in your own words, in your own tone, in your own flair. It's very fun to do. It just takes a little bit of time. But once you build this, it doesn't take much time at all to maintain the system. It's very easy. All you have to do is just check and see how many people replied and who wants to become a new patient. It becomes a great marketing system. And that's where we're at right now. We're going to be here for a few years. So creating this type of system is great. Automation is just going to continue to get better and better and better. And that's why I'm always here empowering you to try and learn as much as you can. By listening to the podcast and being part of our groups, I'm just going to speed track you on the knowledge base so that you don't have to go figure this out for yourself. I wish somebody did this for me 7 years ago. And that's the whole point. I do all this stuff is to help you guys out. So if you have questions, reach out about that. But automation is the name of the game moving forward. So nurturing your leads. Once you get this stuff, email is where we should really focus the rest of this podcast on. You have an email newsletter, maybe, or an email list that you have. We still use MailChimp and go high level, but I still use MailChimp because everything's there. We have thousands of emails in that. And what we do is we put them into that. First of all, it's saved forever. We have their contact information. It's automatically populated in there. Then they're put into a new patient sequence if they become a new patient, or maybe they're put into a lead sequence because they never really responded to any of our ads or came into the office. And that's a more gentler nurture sequence that says, hey, let us introduce ourselves to you. This is what we do at our business. That's an email that they get maybe a week later. Another week or two later, they get another email. Did you know it's a tip? You know, getting better sleep requires three things, and you list the three things in the email. If you need more information or struggle with sleep yourself, did you know the chiropractors here at our office help people every day sleep better and live healthier lives? Book an appointment. Then 2 weeks later, they get another one. Did you know we do massage and acupuncture at our office? These are our hours. This is our team. Meet the team. Here's Dr. Crystal, and here's Anna, who does massage therapy at our office. A little bio there. Then 2-3 weeks later, they get another email. And you create 16, 22, 35, 47, 59 email, whatever, however long or short you want it to do. And you space these out. These people will be nurtured on autopilot in the background forever, whatever 59 emails takes. You send them out every 2-3 weeks. That's 2 years worth of a sequence that could go on forever and ever. And you never have to end it because nothing was tied to a specific offer or deadline. Like, hey, come in for our Christmas special. Don't do that on those nurture sequences, because if it's not Christmas time, that email doesn't make any sense. So we keep them very generic, and we keep them about our office and leave the door open for them to become a client at any time or a patient at any time at our office. That's a nurture sequence. And there is no magical sequence. There is no a cookie cutter sequence that I can give to you here on the podcast that's going to hit a home run for you. Making them unique and of your office creates authenticity of yourself and your brand, which transcends into your community. Those are the people that you want. So the people who respond to that are great. If you're just doing $9, coming in $9 new offer, $9 new offer through your email sequence, you'll get a lot of junk through that. A lot of people that sign up and don't show, because there's a very limit to the barrier there. Make sense? That nurturing sequence you build, yes, they take time at the beginning, but once you build these things, they are worth their weight in gold, because you create a machine that runs your practice for you on the marketing side. And you can tap anything into that afterwards. You can try different ads, you can try different offers, you can try different platforms to market, and they all can plug into your automations, which is really cool way of doing it. So nurturing your leads is where it's all at. This is why you do what you do. There is no bad lead. The bigger your list gets, the more information you got, the better it gets. I was doing some math, you know, this was a couple months ago, and I forget if I did it on a podcast or on an Adjusting Success Live on YouTube, but we were talking about this, and I was like, our list keeps growing. I'm doing the math. We've been open for 5 years. I'm like, we're already at like 8,000 email lists, you know, on this thing. If I do this for 15 years, I might have like 20,000, 30,000, who knows how many emails. You know, if I do this long enough, will I have 100,000 emails? And what is that worth? What's that database worth 20 years from now? Who knows? I don't know. But from a business perspective, it's huge. You can put a value to that. We just had somebody trying to sell his business, an older chiropractor down the road trying to sell it to us. He's like, I'm going to sell my patient list to you. I'm like, oh, hey, I'm all ears. Tell me what it's all about. And finally, back and forth. I'm like, hey, tell me what the active responsive list is. Just filter through it. Active people that have seen you in the last, you know, maybe 6 to 12 months. I don't want the people from 1984. And he finally got back to me. He's like, okay, Enrico, got it. Talked to my insurance biller. They went through the active list of people who've been in the last year, and we have 385 emails I can give you. I'm like, okay. I was expecting like a thousand, some thousands, right? So this guy's been in practice for years, and you know, the number he gave me was pretty high. It was $6,000 to $10,000. And I was like, you're not going to like this. It's $1 a lead for an email list, for just a generic list. Like, that's just the standard when it comes to just buying a list. And he was like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to offer you $385. I'm just saying that's pretty much the general way of buying a list. Now you have actual chiropractic patients, and I'm a chiropractor, that's much more valuable for me. Even at $10, you know, that's, you know, $3,800. he still wasn't too happy with that. And I'm not willing to give you $3,800 for a list. I don't know what will happen for, you know, it's just not a good business move or a good marketing move. But in the grand scheme of things, this is, and it's this deal hasn't been done yet and it could still be done, is that what can I do for $3,000 or for $2,000? Honestly, when it comes to marketing, what can I do for $2,000 to buy a list and plug it into my automation? What would it take for me to make my money back on this and say it broke even? But we don't do marketing things to break even. We do marketing things to at least get a 4-to-1 return. That's the rule to marketing. It's 4-to-1 return. Otherwise, what the heck's the point of marketing? So for me to pay $2,000 and get $8,000 out of 300 people, what would that take? You just divide it by your office visit average of what you charge people per visit. And you just do the math. And you're like, okay, if we charge, I'm going to keep the math simple, $100 a visit, and we want to make $8,000, I need to do 80 visits, and I'll make $8,000. If I had 10 people come in from this list, and they all saw me 8 times, I make my money. It would be worth this deal. And that's where we are with the math. This is not what I'm explaining to the doctor. He's on his way out, retiring. He doesn't care. But that's where I'm at with this, little opportunities that come up. The point of the story, which is not where this story went at all, is his 300 list and my 33,000 list. Do you see where the value comes in? Somebody wants to come in and buy your practice and they're like, okay, what, you know, how many patients do you have? And you're like, well, we have 12,000 patients in our database, but 12,000 active files in our database, but we have 39,000 emails and contacts that we've contacted through all of our marketing efforts within 6 miles around this office that are in a demographic that make this much income and are high ticket buyers. You could put a value to that in the business plan. You could say so in your goodwill, that's no longer goodwill. So if your assets in your business are like $190,000 total, equipment, furniture, everything, when you're about to sell and you do $600,000 in gross revenue a year, plus your assets, you're like, okay, it's 800 and you add this all in, then the goodwill of that list, what's that list worth? That they can hit a button, submit it to 33,000 emails, what? And they bring in something new into the office and they buy, 1% buy. What's that value? And you can argue this in front of bank and you can argue this on paper that is value. It takes it away from your goodwill and puts it towards asset. And then, I mean, what if Verizon wants the list? You want to sell the list to Verizon? I have a 33 in this area right here. Do you want new customers for your Verizon wireless? They may be like, yeah, sure, we'll give you $5,000 for that. And it doesn't mean that they own the list. You're giving them a copy of the list, a copy. You still have the PDF. You still have the Excel form that you can do that again and turn around and say, hey, AT&T, would you like this list in this area? Are you trying to grow in the suburbs of Austin, Texas? And you own this stuff. I mean, we got to think outside the box. We have to be entrepreneurial. And that's what these lists will start to build in the background. You guys, this is like slowly buying up small properties in rural areas with your lead systems and what you're doing. Yeah, in the meantime, it seems like a pain in the butt. You got to maintain all these properties in different places and there are all these little shacks and one bedroom homes. And you're like, why am I doing this? And then 15 years from now, you got bubble boom, you got the bubbles burst, the housing booms in those areas. And then you're like, wow, that investment of $1,500 that I put into there is now worth 29,000. And you times that by all the things that you've done and you can flip them. That's what business is all about, asset creation. So there you go. I went all over the place on this one. This came left, right, center, was not organized at all. I should have done my notes before this, but that's the point of creating a system. And as long as you ignore this, as long as you want to go free floating on your marketing, you're going to run into frustration all the time. And when things slow down and you need to turn it up, you don't know what to do. And you're trying new things that don't work and you're burning assets, you're burning money. So having this, we have like faucets, we have different faucets that we can turn on at any time. We're like, hey, let's turn on the weight loss faucet. Let's do that again. Let's create that. We were settled. The team's trained. Let's do this. We got the health coach back in the corner here that can handle all the emails. Let's do it. Let's turn it on. You turn these things on. Those are high ticket offers. Those are, you know, 1500 plus bundling per case on that to work with them for less than 2 months. I mean, can Come on. Like we can turn that on and we can create new clients off of that through our email system. That's just through our email system. That's not even ads. Then we have decompression in the op. We can do decompression. We can do physical therapy. We can do chiropractic. We can do acupuncture. We can turn on all these faucets at different times or all at the same time if you're looking to grow. And then you have control of what's going on. It's predictable growth. It's predictable control. You know the worst case scenario of when you ran an ad for 30 days, how many new patients you got. You're like, oh man, I remember a year ago when we ran the same, you know, the same type of Cairo ad and we got 6 new patients. That was our worst month that we converted. And you're like, hey guys, you guys want 6 new patients? Yeah. Okay. Turn on the ad and you know, you're going to get at least 6 new patients. That's pretty cool when you can just do that and you know, things are working. So there you go. That's this week's podcast. Build your systems. Ask for help to build your systems. Ask your colleagues what they're doing. And don't believe everything you see in social media. Ask your colleagues that know what they're doing to give you solid advice, not just the next shiny thing that they bought in their office. Where they, if you call up a friend from school and they're like, man, you got to get a cold laser, I'd either hang up or just be nice and finish the conversation and don't buy a cold laser. Like that's not good advice. Cause does that fit your practice? Is that what you want to do? Is that going to be ideal for your clients? Don't just listen to that. If they're like, hey man, listen, build an email sequence that are like 6 emails around this and say this, this, and this, and this to build your nutrition or your functional med program. I'd be like, whoa, tell me more about those emails. When do you send them? Do you send them to everybody or do you create a whole new list? You know, I'd be asking the right questions, right? And that's where great advice comes from, is by asking the right questions. Huh, there you go. That's a great podcast. These are the basics that build businesses. So no matter what, if you came across this podcast and you're like, I'm not a chiropractor, that's fine. This builds businesses. Nurturing your list and creating leads and nurturing those leads goes a long way. So keep doing what you're doing. You're fantastic, and to your success.
Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe, like, share, and leave a rating. It helps get our podcast out to more listeners. Also, join Marketing 101 for Chiropractors on Facebook or visit us at EnricoD.com for more information on growing and scaling your business.